We turn to sacred scripture this evening to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, we read the first 20 verses. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. And they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, and overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds, and the next 2 verses constitute the text this evening. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, there comes a time in everybody's life in which a man must sort through all his possessions. Perhaps that time is when a young adult moves out of the house and now he has to go through all his possessions. Perhaps the time is when a family moves house and now they have to organize all their belongings. Or even in the springtime when our houses are subjected to a thorough spring cleaning. And when we sort through all our possessions, we put them into one of 3 categories. The first category is of those things that we keep. The second category, those things that we are going to throw away or destroy. And the third category, those things that we are either going to sell or give away. Now, if you or I ever become convinced and convicted by the Spirit of God that we have possessions, possessions which a Christian ought not have, then we must not wait for an opportune time to dispose of them, but we must get rid of those things immediately. Neither may we put those things in any other category than those things which are to be destroyed. We are to part with them completely and entirely so that neither we nor anybody else will be sinfully influenced by them. And in so doing, we will be following the faithful example of these Ephesian Christians in the text who burned their books of curious arts. This incident of which we read in Acts chapter 19 took place during Paul's third missionary journey, and the focus of his labors would be in the great city of Ephesus. And here, great attention would be given unto Paul because not only because of the word that he spoke, of course, but because of the great miracles that were performed by his hand. And we read of that in this chapter, whereas handkerchiefs or aprons were given to Paul, and now if anybody touched those items, they were healed as well. But even greater attention was called to Paul's preaching here in Ephesus when certain Jews decided that they too would take upon themselves to perform miracles. And we read of them in the text. Verse 13, they're called exorcists. We read that they were a band of seven brothers, all sons of one Sceva. And these seven brothers set themselves forth as those who could do miracles and those who could cast out devils and demons. And we read that some of these exorcists tried to cast out a devil, and the consequence was that they were exposed as powerless to do so. Even though they tried to cast out the devil in the name of Jesus Christ, nevertheless, their problem was that they did not have the authority to do so. And that devil says unto them, "Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you?" And that evil, the man in whom the evil spirit was, leaped on them and prevailed against them, so that those seven sons of one Sceva fled the house bruised and naked. And now it was when the Ephesians saw that other exorcists, even in the name of Jesus whom Paul preacheth, when the Ephesians saw that they could not cast out devils, but that Paul could, it was after witnessing those type of miracles that we come to the text this evening. The Ephesians brought their books of curious arts to burn them. Now, if any of you or I are waiting for such startling evidences of the gospel, that is, these miracles in the text, in order for us to believe, then we will have to keep on waiting. Because with the eye of the body, we are not going to witness such miracles as occurred during Paul's day. But the evidences of the gospel in our day and age come through the ordinary means that God has ordained, the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments. And now the calling to you and me tonight on the basis of the Word of God that we consider is this: burn your books of curious arts. if there is anything in your life that would hinder you in placing all your trust in Jesus Christ for all your salvation, then you must get rid of that thing immediately. You must wait no longer. Do it now to show that you are a Christian. And so I call your attention to this text under the theme, Burning the Books. Notice in the first place the meaning, the second place the reason why they burn their books, and finally the possibility, burning the books. The text before us in Acts chapter 19 speaks of a strange and yet wonderful act on the part of these Ephesian believers. They burned their books of curious arts. Now, these books of curious arts were those kinds of books that were used in the practice of magic and other idolatrous practices. Now, we have to remember that that Ephesus was the center of the worship of the goddess Diana. And we all remember that incident with Demetrius, the silversmith. As a matter of fact, that's later on here in Acts chapter 19. We didn't read that far. But about how Demetrius and his fellow colleagues and their idol-making business caused an uproar in the city of Ephesus, and all the people of Ephesus shouted for the space of 2 hours, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." Well, associated with the worship of Diana were many superstitious activities. The practice of magic, the study of astrology, fortune-telling, the use of charms, and so many other idolatrous practices. And all these were ways in which those who worshipped the goddess Diana tried to discern her mind and her will. And to aid such a person in discerning the mind and the will of the goddess Diana, one could buy books. And the text before us refers to such books. Now, what we mustn't overlook in the text is that the text says that believers owned these types of books. That's verse 18 and 19. Many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them. The them in verse 19 refers to those believers mentioned in verse 18. Now, don't imagine that it went this way, that there were these Ephesians who owned these books, and they were pagans and heathens, and then Paul comes along preaching the gospel of grace, and now these Ephesians are converted to faith, and immediately the first thing they do when they are converted is they take their books and they go and they burn their books. That's not the sequence of events of how it happened. Verse 18 teaches us that these people who owned these books believed. They believed probably for quite some time before this incident of the burning of the books. So, in other words, there was a time, a point in time, when they were converted to faith in Christ and when they professed the truths of the gospel, and yet they owned these books. And not only that they owned these books, don't think that these books just sat on the shelves gathering dust, but according to verse 19, they used these books. They used curious arts. Now, how sad, but how very true to life this is. This would be like you or I, on the one hand, confessing to believe the truths of the gospel, and on the other hand, owning books of astrology and of the practice of writing horoscopes, and not only owning those types of books, but using them as well. It would be like you or I claiming, on the one hand, to be believers, but on the other hand, willing to listen to any idolatrous practice that the world was ready to preach. Sad, really, for these Ephesian Christians, because to own these books was a contradiction of their profession of faith. Sad, really, because this was a practical denial of Jehovah. They confessed Jehovah with their mouths, but in their deeds, they confessed something quite differently. But the sort of sad thing to which you and I are prone as well. But now the text before us says that at this point, when they saw the power of the gospel clearly demonstrated through the Apostle Paul, that they burned their books. And the text gives unto us a very rich and vivid picture of men coming with their arms full of books to the central square at Ephesus or to some other public place, and throwing those books down on a pile and kindling that pile and lighting that pile on fire, and behind that first man, another man, and a third man behind him, repeatedly, almost in droves, men are coming to burn their books. And by doing this, they inflicted great loss upon themselves. Great loss. Why? Well, because these books that they owned were of a very great value. In the first place, these books were not like books that we have, hardcover books and softcover books that we can easily replace. But these types of books that we read of here in the text were papyrus scrolls. And we have to remember, too, that there was no printing press in these days, but every single one of those scrolls was painstakingly written by a scribe. And it's not a far stretch to say that many of these scrolls took at least a year or two or three for just one single scroll to be copied. And the point is that these Ephesian Christians could not replace these scrolls of theirs. We know that we can take some of our books and we can burn a book, and we can turn around and we can go to the bookshop, we can go on the internet, we can buy hundreds more of the same book. Not so with these Ephesian Christians. Their books, their scrolls, their parchments were one of a kind. And what did they do with their books of curious arts? They burned them. And in the second place, notice that these Ephesian Christians, they didn't sell their books. Oh, there was a ready market there in Ephesus for their books. There were plenty of people in Ephesus who wanted to buy these books, and no doubt these Ephesian Christians could have sold these books saying, well, we're done using them, and since we're done using them, we have no more profit in them. We might as well make some money off of selling them. That's not what the Ephesian Christians did with their books of curious arts, but they burned the books. And when they burned the books, they took the time to see how great a loss it would be for them in burning all these books. And the text says that They counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. 50,000 pieces of silver. Now, how much is that worth in our day and in our age? One of the commentators that I read said that this 50,000 pieces of silver is worth at least $8,500. But that commentary was written in the early 1900s. But there are many other commentators that say that this 50,000 pieces of silver is worth at least $1 million in our day and in our age. Now, we can't be sure of the value in our day, but one thing is for sure, that the Holy Spirit, in putting this dollar amount in the Scriptures, means to impress upon us that this was an enormous sum of money. And these Ephesian Christians suffered great loss because they burned their books. And in the third place, the value of their books that they lost was much more than simply the market value of that particular scroll. But consider this. In burning their books, they not only lost the value of the book, but they lost their investment in their books as well. Because recall, and don't overlook the fact that one who uses curious arts does it for a fee and does it for others. And so these Ephesian Christians lost their income. They lost the value of their investments. It would be like somebody nowadays who owns a big, profitable, thriving business and who is going out of the business saying, I'm going out of business, but instead of selling my business, I'm going to burn it down to the ground. We might say, how foolish is such a man? Because he's losing the value of his investment. Well, in a similar way, these Ephesian Christians burned their books and lost their income. And so when we step back and look at these Ephesian Christians, this is simply absolutely amazing what they did. Could you, would you or I be so willing to inflict loss upon ourselves as willingly as these Ephesian Christians did? Now, the books that you and I own will take perhaps a different form than these books. These books that we read of in the text were papyrus scrolls. The books that you and I would be tempted to hold on to once we come to faith in Jesus Christ wouldn't necessarily be hardcover books. And the purpose in our having our books might be a little bit different than the reason the Ephesian Christians own their books. They own their books of curious arts to make money, and that was their business. And perhaps we might have our curious books of curious arts for our own personal and private recreation. But the point of similarity is this. Any possession that you or I might own directly contradicting our Christian faith, which is used in the service of idolatry, is a book of curious arts that must be burned. Any possession that you or I might own, which could be an instrument used in the service of idolatry, directly contradicting our Christian faith, is a book of curious arts that must be burned. And the books that we own, as I said earlier, doesn't necessarily have to be hardcover books. They could be CDs or DVDs or the magazines of this world. Our books of curious arts could be the songs of this world. And it's so easy for Christians to love and to enjoy the songs of this world. And this we know, that one cannot sing the songs of the world and at the same time sing the songs of Zion. Perhaps your particular book might be the DVDs and the movies of this world, and don't overlook that. It can become so easy, even for a Christian, to become so enamored with the movies of this world and with Hollywood that those movies become a god and a snare unto him. Or the particular books that you might own might be the magazines of this world. Now, not explicitly pornographic material, but even the supermarket magazines and the tabloids that we see in the supermarket. And there you see the world's gospel on how to improve your figure in 10 days. The top 10 ways to improve your life. You have to buy this book, and suddenly you will have the answer to all of life's problems. But this we know, that we cannot read the Bible and read the magazines of the world and say, well, the two go hand in hand, because they don't. The Bible sets forth the truth of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And the magazines of this world set forth a worldly gospel. And so it is our calling to examine ourselves. Each and every one of you, examine your own life. Examine your own home. Examine your own vehicle. Examine the dark recesses of your closet and discover for yourself any book of curious arts. And when you find that book, the calling is to burn that book. And it's our calling to examine your life, because it's so easy to look at others in the church and say, oh yes, that person has so many books to burn, and that person over there has so many other books to burn. That's not what we say this evening. We're called to examine our own lives and our own hearts. And then the difficult questions must be asked. Are you ready to burn that book? Are you ready to cease the practice? Are you ready to set aside your interest in such worldly things? Do you see that to own such a thing is to contradict the faith that you confess? And perhaps you might say, well, it's not that big of a deal. I may own my book. After all, I go to church twice on Sunday. I read the Bible. I pray before I go to bed at night. That's no justification. That would be something similar to a father saying unto his son, son, you may drink that gasoline out of that gasoline container because it's going to poison you. And then then the son says back to his father, but father, don't you know? I drank milk too. The two don't go hand in hand. You cannot practice your curious arts and at the same time worship Jehovah God. And notice what these Ephesian Christians did with their books. They burned their books. They utterly destroyed those books so that neither they nor anybody else would be sinfully influenced by them. And that's our calling tonight as well. We have to burn our books. And what that means is that we have to rid our lives of everything that would steer us away from placing all our hope and all our trust in Jehovah God alone. We are to get rid of them completely and entirely. Are you ready to get rid of your books? Are you ready to get rid of them completely and entirely? It doesn't matter how much, what their value is. It doesn't matter how much they would fetch on a garage sale. It doesn't matter how much you could get for it on Craigslist. It doesn't matter how much your coworker would be willing to pay you for your book. It doesn't matter what its emotional or sentimental value is. Whatever kind of value you place on it, the question is, are you ready to burn it? Are you ready to get rid of that filthy and wretched and vile thing as quickly and as soon as possible? And when you do that, then you will be following the godly example of these believers in Ephesus. And now we ask the question, why? What's the reason? Why did they inflict such a great loss upon themselves? And the reason is this. They now understood that they must devote themselves completely to Jehovah God, even in their outward lives. They must show complete and utter devotion to God. These Ephesian believers see that they can't have it both ways. It's either God or nothing. And so they burn their books. And by this, they are saying that to worship Jehovah and serve Jehovah alone means that we will make a complete break with the sins of those books of curious arts. We will burn the books. To manifest complete service and worship to Jehovah means that they would serve Jehovah consistently in all ways, in every place they go, wherever they do, publicly, in the eyes of all men, we will burn the books. And to worship and to serve Jehovah alone is as much to say that there is no other option available. And it's not even enough for us to say, I will worship Jehovah, but you may worship your own gods. We may not give our books to others. We may not sell our books to others and in that way say, well, I can't get any use or profit out of this book anymore, but here, maybe you can use it in the service of your God. That's not what the Christian does. To serve Jehovah alone is to say that there is no other option and that all the other stuff in the world is a false gospel which must be repudiated and which is of no benefit to anybody. And so to manifest complete devotion to God and to Jesus Christ is as much to say that I will trust in Him from day to day, that my God and my Father can take care of me. I will give up my income if I have to. I will give up my great standard of living, which I have pursued all my life. I trust in my God and in my Father that He can take care of me. And in all this, we see that the Ephesian believers demonstrated true repentance of all their sins. And that comes out for us in the text in verse 18. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. They repented in words. They repented of their sins outwardly in words. And they confess that we have not been consistent Christians. In fact, our claims to Christianity was just a veneer, but we have been sinners and in our hearts there has been idolatry. We've done wrong. And so they confessed their deeds. But not only that they confessed with their mouths, but also in deeds did they repent. Of course they did. They burned their books. And so now there is, at least from an outward practical point of view, there is no good way for them to return to their idolatry. And so our text teaches us some lessons about true repentance. In the first place, true repentance means making a complete break with our sins and a complete turning unto God. Now, at least with regards to the outward act of sinning. It's true that in all our lives we are repenting. Daily we turn to God. Daily we turn to find forgiveness and seek for our purification without ourselves. But now, with regards to the blatant act of sin, we cease from that and we turn to Jehovah God. And in the second place, when a gross public sin has been committed, the true repentance of an individual is public as well. The nature of this sin in the text was public for these Ephesian Christians. They used these curious arts. They had a business going. This was a public matter. And they grew up being heathens, being pagans, and even after they came to faith, they still tried to cling to their old way of life. And so now they had to make a public show and confession of their deeds by coming and burning the books. And they did this publicly. And we read of that in verse 19 when it says that they burned the books before all men. This true repentance was a public matter. And finally, true repentance is a gift of the grace of God. There's absolutely no other explanation for why we repent of our sins. True repentance is not the effect of my intellectual reasoning and my mental abilities whereby by my own power I repent of my sins. Not at all. But God says in the New Testament that this is something that He works in our hearts. And God says that no idolater can enter the kingdom of heaven. And with those words of God, we cannot argue. He is the one who brings into His kingdom. He is the one who keeps back from His kingdom. And God Himself declares that no idolater will enter the kingdom of heaven. And so God Himself will see to it that in our lives, we repent of all our sins. It's a gift of the grace of God. And God will work in our hearts to burn our books. But is it possible? Is it possible for us to burn our books? There's much value involved. It can be very difficult. Can we do that? And the answer is emphatically yes, it is, because you have that power. Jesus Christ lives within you, and so you have the power to show complete and utter devotion to God in your lives. You can burn your books. And that's why I said in the introduction that when the child of God becomes convinced that he or she owns any possessions that is not appropriate for a Christian to own, he must get rid of those things immediately. And the Christian man must put those things in the pile of things to be destroyed. Why? Because I have the power of Jesus Christ now in my life to rid myself of those books and to live consistently, demonstrating my obedience to Jehovah God. And now our text tells us more about the power in which these Ephesian Christians burned their books. This power was nothing less than the power of the Word of God. That's verse 20. So mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. By burning their books, these Ephesians were demonstrating how powerful the Word of God was. And when we say that the Word of God grew and prevailed, then we mean to say that the Word of God, which has Christ at its center, the Christ who not only forgives sins, but the Christ who justifies and sanctifies and glorifies. It is nothing less here than Jesus Christ who grew and prevailed. Now we understand too that it's not Jesus Christ in his human nature, but insofar as Jesus Christ was preached through the gospel and by his Holy Spirit worked in the hearts of men so that men see how great Jesus Christ is and his power and his authority. And that's why, of course, why God used this instance of exorcism earlier in Acts chapter 19. Those seven sons of Sceva, they sought power. But they didn't have any power because Jesus Christ wasn't with them. And that devil says unto them, Paul we know, Jesus Christ we know, but who are you? They lacked, those seven sons of Sceva, they lacked the power. They lacked the authority. They lacked Jesus Christ. And so the fact that believers came and burned their books was evidence that the Word of God, which has Jesus Christ at its center, was powerful and prevailed. And further, according to verse 20, we read that the Word of God prevailed. That simply means that the Word of God was victorious. Victorious over what? Victorious over every bit of idolatry that may root itself in our hearts. The Word of God has the victory. And this is the power that the Word of God has today as well. The Word of God has the power to sanctify you and me so much that idolatry will be rooted out in our lives. The power of the Word of God today is so powerful that we not only show or speak to others about the glory of God living with us, but that we show in our deeds that we belong unto Jesus Christ. And by the power of the Word working in our lives, others take note of us, and others will say unto us, But I thought that this was your favorite type of music to listen to. I thought that this was your favorite recreational pastime. You mean to say that you are completely and utterly devoted to Jehovah God? And we say, you've got it right. Yes, I have burned the books. I am completely and utterly devoted to my Lord and to my Savior. And so, in other words, if we go home tonight and if we say with regards to certain things that we own, or even with regards to certain practices, and we say, I'm not going to burn my books. I'll try not to listen to that wicked music. I'll try not to watch those wicked movies. I'll try not to engage and have all the pleasure that I once had with all my books. but I'm not going to burn my books. Well, if that's your attitude this evening, then you cannot blame the Word. You cannot blame Jesus Christ for not causing you to burn your books. But it's all due to your own stubbornness. And at the heart of it, it's your own unbelief. Really, let us put it this way. If that's your attitude, then you do not love God as you claim you do. But now, what about the loss? 50,000 pieces of silver. That is a lot of money. Hundreds, you say, you've spent on your CDs. Hundreds on your DVDs. Perhaps even thousands upon whatever particular book or books you may own. Know this, the power of Jesus Christ is a power to bestow upon you far, far greater riches than 50,000 pieces of silver could ever buy. These are the kind of riches that far outweigh any monetary loss to your bank account. These are the treasures that last forever. These are the blessings of salvation, the forgiveness of our sins, peace with God, the inheritance of the sons and daughters of God, the blessed assurance that after we die, we go to heaven. Those are the riches of the kingdom of heaven, and that, beloved, money cannot buy. And so our calling tonight is to burn the books. Suffer the loss if need be, but do so with your eye upon Jehovah and with your eye upon Jesus Christ and with those riches that Jesus Christ purchased for you and for me by his death on the cross. So mightily will the Word of God prevail in your heart and in mine. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. Thy word is precious unto us. We pray for the grace of the Holy Spirit that we may burn our books and that we, in so doing, we may demonstrate that we repent of our sins and that we are completely devoted to thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.